I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Is now showing warning signs for Democrats ahead of the midterms. A key voting group that is considered reliably Democratic does not seem as solidly blue as it once was. CNN senior data reporter Harry Enten is joining us now. So, Harry, as we move into the midterms here, you say that we're actually seeing some real movement among a core Democratic group.
Yeah, so take a look here. This is black voters' electoral preferences in pre-election polling. Look, black voters are the core part of the Democratic Party. And as you can see here in the race for Congress, look, they're still getting 74% support in the pre-election polling right now. But compare that to the final polling for 2020 president and 2018 Congress. Back in 2020, it was 84%, 85% in 2018. So you're clearly seeing right here that there is less support for Democratic candidates for Congress among African Americans. And you can look at the Republican column as well, and you can see that 12%, not exactly high, but that's actually the high watermark.
The high watermark for what things are right now for Biden and the Democrats, gathering, or rather focusing on congressional races. But a lot of those congressional races also depend upon Joe Biden. You know, when you have a president who is a good leader, has a lot of people lined up behind him, the president, if he's running for re-election, and if he's had a successful 8 years, if he's termed out, his coattails may help carry the victory. For congressional districts that might be very tight. Same for Senate districts. But looking at these numbers, according to CNN, even admitting they're not looking that good. And Joe Biden has no coattails. I'm not even sure he has pants at this point. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, January 9, 2024. This is the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. We're here Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are also streaming for you. Video, you could see at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, and at News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter. If you miss anything, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up a previous program. Yesterday's programs were not posted. We're still working on getting those posted and today's. There's been a problem. Let's call it a fraud issue because I had to shut down a credit card that was paying for us to post those. So until we get this all squared away, we're having an issue. But you can always still go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, and you'll also find them as well as Larry Connors USA Twitter. Now, another thing I want to point out for you, tomorrow night we've got the Haley and DeSantis debate. Newstalk STL is going to carry that debate in its entirety, and it begins at 8 o'clock. So immediately after we finish tomorrow night, we'll take you right to that debate stage. So you don't want to go anywhere when this program wraps tomorrow night. All right, so let's talk about Biden and the black votes as to what they're seeing in the congressional district. I want to go back over what the analyst was pointing out, because, again, when numbers are thrown at you, on the air radio waves, you can't see something. They're pretty hard to digest fully. So, repeating some of what he pointed out. In 2018, black voters' preferences in the congressional races of the Democrat, 85% black Democrats supported the congressional races. On the Republican side, black voters voting Republican, only 9% were supporting some of the congressional races. You jump ahead and go to 2022 on the congressional situation now. Well, before that, we'll go back to 2020 for the presidential race between Biden and Trump. Biden slipped a point among the black voters' preferences from 85% to 84% as far as they voted for congressional races. it stayed the same, referenced Trump, going into that election. But then you go to 2022, the midterms, where 9% of black voters preferred the Republican candidates, 12% of black voters preferred the Republican candidates. 3% jump. And as far as the Democrats, black voters who supported the Democrat tickets were at 84, 85%, dropping to 74%. Obviously some erosion going on. And then you talk about not the congressional races, but Biden himself and black voters.
Take a look at Joe Biden's approval rating among black adults. If you go back to January to June of 2021, look how high it was. It's 87%. 87%, basically matching what he got in the 2020 election. But look at that approval rating now in August and September of 2022. It's all the way down to 64%. Now, obviously, Joe Biden's approval rating with all Americans is down, but it's not down by anywhere near this amount. This 23-point drop among all Americans, it's only down about 10 to 15 points. So there is a disproportionate drop in Joe Biden's approval rating among African Americans, and I think that's kind of driving why you're seeing Democrats running for Congress getting a significantly lower margin than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, that is certainly clear. And again, to point those numbers out for you again, because as I said, I know it's difficult sometimes to follow them when they're on the air. In January to June of 2021, Joe Biden's approval rating among black adults, 87%. August, September 2022, dropping to 64%. As far as the number of black adults that approved of Joe Biden. You can't ignore those numbers. Now, they're going to try to. They're going to try to put lipstick on the pig, but you cannot ignore them. And then, of course, you come to the battle states, swing key states where the races can be won or lost quickly.
If we're looking at sort of the battleground states, the states with close Senate or governor races in 2022, look at the black share of the electorate. These are the states where it makes up a significant portion. Georgia, the big one. Look at that, 33%. North Carolina, 23%. There's a key gubernatorial race there. Florida, governor and a Senate race there, 14%. Ohio, 11%. Pennsylvania, 10%, obviously a key gubernatorial and Senate race there. And then Nevada, where you might say, okay, that's a state with a large Hispanic population, there's actually also a large African-American population as well. So if you look across the polling, you're looking across the electoral map, you're clearly seeing that there are a lot of places where this black voter movement could, in fact, have a significant thing that's going on.
Could have a significant impact. I guess that's what he was trying to say in the beginning, or at the close, I should say. But again, the black voter share of the electorate in states with close election races in 2022, Georgia at the top, 33% of the black voter electorate in Georgia favor Biden and the Democrats. 23% in North Carolina. Florida, 14%. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Nevada, all 11 to 10%. None of that, again, suggests there's any good news for Joe Biden, which brings us to the issue that many have been kind of harping on off and on, that he can't run again. Even the Democrats are saying he really can't run. They don't want him to run. That's what they'll say behind closed doors, and in fact, some will say publicly that he should step aside. And then the other issue is Kamala going to run? And is she going to be on the ticket with him? Or is he stepping out and then she's going to take over near the end and then run in? And she's not getting a lot of support either. The one name that continues to come up, and it has for a long time, although she has said repeatedly, I'm not interested, that would be Michelle Obama. I want you to hear something that she made a reference to when she was on an interview program, a podcast actually, the Jay Chetley Mental Health Podcast. They were talking generally mental health issues, and they kind of got into talking about things that kind of keep you awake at night, And then it pivoted into the 2024 election.
What's going to happen in this next election? I am terrified about what could possibly happen because our leaders matter. Who we select, who speaks for us, who holds that bully pulpit. It affects us in ways that sometimes I think people take for granted. You know, the fact that people think that government, you know, does it really even do anything? And I'm like, oh my God, does government do everything for us? And we cannot take this democracy for granted. And sometimes I worry that we do. Those are the things that keep me up.
Well, let me correct a couple of things. First of all, we are a republic, not a democracy. I know what she's trying to say, but too many times that gets thrown around. And saying that this keeps me awake, and do people really care about government? Does it really do anything for us? And she's saying it does everything for us. I don't want the government doing everything for me. And she's talking about how our president and that bully pulpit of the Oval Office is regarded. I go back and quote, as I used in the first hour, direct from the Global Times, a China state-run propaganda newspaper, declaring President Joe Biden inadequate. I know we say that in this nation, but I do get a little blood boiling when I see our adversaries admitting the same, whether or not they say it in print or by their actions, which China and Russia have been doing anyway. But I don't like it, and I don't have to settle for it. You shouldn't either. There was no statement from her that she is going to run. But there may be a bat call out before it's over with. Put up the bat signal. Michelle, we're going to need you. If it's keeping her awake at night, maybe she'll see it. Who knows? They're worried about the election coming. I worry that it be a fair and accurate election. Mayorkas went to Eagle Pass, Texas yesterday, a visit to the border. He's facing impeachment for failing in his oath and obligation to protect our nation from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
These agents and officers encountered an historic number of migrants in December, including large numbers of migrants who arrived at the border at one time, putting tremendous stress on our broken immigration system, our under-resourced facilities, the communities. I met with Eagle Pass elected leaders earlier today, and most importantly, our agents and officers themselves. Yet, these agents and officers managed through it all as they always do. They processed the migrants into immigration enforcement proceedings in an orderly way. They returned and removed those who have no claim for relief or legal basis to remain.
However, he did not say in his address to the press what he apparently had told agents behind the closed doors later. An estimated 80 to 85% that they were going to deport, 80 to 85% are still sent into our country anyway. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas says Mayorkas has a responsibility. He's obviously failing.
300,000 apprehensions in December. Do the math, right? We're talking about 250,000 releases in December. That's not counting the 50,000 or so rough gotaways that we would estimate we're getting on a monthly basis, which are the worst of the worst, by the way. And that is a major drain on our state and Texas, $12.5 billion we've had to spend out of our own money to do what the federal government is supposed to do. And it's long past due for us to do something about it. It's why I don't think we should be funding the government without getting change. I sure don't think we ought to be giving more money to Ukraine without forcing the change at the border we need to. It's the only tool we have, Neil. I mean, I'm not trying to rattle about shutdown for the sake of it, but the people I represent, they're good Lord, shut down the border or shut down the government until you wake up President Biden and Mayorkas to do their job.
Yeah, if you can wake them up to do their job. As I said, Mayorkas is facing impeachment already. And he went down to the border and said, hey, I'm here. I'm watching over everything. No, you're not. You're doing it a photo op. And Congressman Chip Roy says impeachment is on the table.
He's ignoring his duty under the Constitution to secure our border and follow the laws and make sure that they're faithfully executed. I think it's totally impeachable. But keep in mind, he had a meeting, I think it was yesterday, one of my colleagues said that he kind of scoffed. He said, if you guys impeach me, you know, good luck with what you're going to get behind me. Hmm. Basically saying that that Biden would appoint somebody as radical and as crazy or even worse than he is. And I think that's the reality we got to remember. Our key tool here is the power of the purse. I'm for impeaching him. I'm glad that Mark Green's going to have a hearing tomorrow with Mayorkas. I think we'll proceed with it. I'm for it. But let's be clear. If you don't use the power of the purse, you're not going to check an administration that doesn't care about the rule of law.
That is a fact. If they don't care about the rule of law, you're not going to get anything done. Which I'm reminded by one of our loyal listeners that today is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day for every member of law enforcement. She points out that Diane said she took her grandson with her and they delivered dozens of cookies to a local police department. That's great. I know they enjoyed that. But we don't appreciate the law officers enough, and in turn, we give them unbelievable tasks with not the ability to carry it out. And even if they do, then you have the Soros prosecutors across the nation dumping them and throwing them out. But Mayorkas and the Biden administration are the attitude. The Border Patrol is doing a great job. Mayorkas spent a lot of time praising them for what they're doing at the border. That's good. But praise only goes so far because the men and women at the border, they know what's happening. And, of course, Mayorkas says what we really need, if you really want better enforcement, you need to go and look at money.
We need Congress to provide the supplemental funding that President Biden requested months ago. We need more Border Patrol agents and more case processors so that the agents can be out in the field doing the heroic work that is their fundamental mission. We need more officers so that migration surges do not force mitigation measures of last resort like bridge closures. We need more asylum officers and immigration judges so that we can resolve asylum claims quickly, granting relief when it is warranted, removing migrants when it is not, and reducing the 3 million case immigration court backlog that has been growing for years and years.
It has been growing for years and years and years, but if you paid attention, it wouldn't have grown as much as it has. Under Obama, there were 5 million illegal immigrant encounters. 5 million. Trump came in, there were still 4.7 million. That's because many were still coming because of Biden. I mean, Obama, I should say. Finally, he got that under control. But the first thing Biden did is when he went in is throughout remain in Mexico, and now we've had 13 million plus. Now, Biden believes in solid border. Biden believes in solid border. More agents, fencing in some areas. Wait a minute. That's not President Biden. I need to correct myself. President Biden does not believe in that. However, Senator Biden, when running for president in 2007, did say he believes in a solid border. I want you to remember that. Campaign slogan, or did he really believe it? Look where we are now. You're going to hear more from Senator Biden when we continue. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. your world cleaner, better, safer. So, as always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Oh, people, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
There's pigeons now on Market Square. She's standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. And that ball will be coming soon. Oh, my, my. Oh, hell yes. You got to put on that. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road.
Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the pain.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. As I told you, we are going to let you hear from Senator Joe Biden from 2007 when he was all about border and border security. And we're also going to remind you again that we'll be covering the debate live for you tomorrow night between Haley and DeSantis. But before that, joining us now, all transparency, a good friend and my doctor as well, Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Rick, glad to have you on board, sir.
Larry, thank you very much for having me.
Well, the thing that caught my attention I wanted to bring to you, and your response was amazing. I was looking at a piece written in Epoch Times talking about mast cell, it's MAST, cell activation syndrome, a mysterious disease often missed. And then you told me that this has been evident for so long and no one's done anything about it. And what is it to begin with?
Well, so your mast cells are your inflammatory response cells, and some people feel it's genetic, and then some people feel it's toxin-related, so it has to do with antibodies in the air, immunotoxins in the air, and what you have is you have basically an systemic allergic reaction. You can die, or you could end up in the emergency room with what's called a histamine release and basically a cardiovascular event. And it's rare, but it's very well documented and not very well understood and not a lot of research. And when you see it, you see these people, they're generally young, they have this unbelievable histamine release, and they go into cardiovascular shock.
Didn't you also tell me that based on that, it's on a board exam and surgeons need to know about it, and there's been a lot of research and everything, and yet it's been, are they just ignoring it or just don't look at it as a real issue?
Well, you know, it's on every board exam, and the reason is you're gonna see it. I've seen it. I've seen it at the track, the sports track, not the betting track, and I've seen it.
Yeah.
In
well, there probably there's some athletes. Too. You start getting high, your horse isn't running fast enough. You start scratching. Go ahead.
that's exactly right. And you know, I think there's been research about it, but I think that the cure, there's no real cure for it. The treatments are trying to stay away from toxins, maybe taking some antihistamines, et cetera. But, you know, there's no drug for it. There's no path to resolve it. And I just don't think people have taken it seriously, because I just don't think that many doctors have had significant experience with it clinically. But if you're treating young athletes that are out in the environment, et cetera, you're going to see it. And when you see it, you're not going to want to see it again.
I'm looking at a quote again from the Epoch Times article about the obstacles to diagnosing it. They're talking about a Dr. Nathan, a recognized authority in Lyme disease, and he said he had not heard of MCAS until 2016. He said, once it entered my awareness, I began to realize I've been seeing it for years without making the right diagnosis.
Well, and I think that underscores the whole problem right there. You just said it all. It sees you, you don't see it. And that's the problem. And again, if you don't know about it and you've not seen it, you don't know how to diagnose it, you know, people are sweating. Basically, they're about to pass out. Again, they go into usually vascular arrest, et cetera, et cetera. So if you don't know what it is and you have no experience, you're not going to treat it correctly. Your athlete's going to, or your patient's going to die.
You're talking about also that it could be something triggered, like you have itching or hives or maybe brain fog or fatigue. Again, a lot of things kind of get misdiagnosed within that full umbrella. I remember years ago when they were talking about, what was it, I can't recall, it was a generational type disease, that basically a syndrome that folks were feeling tired and everybody was saying, oh, it's just a make-up disease, when in fact it really existed.
Fibromyalgia?
Well, that is one of them. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, so there are diseases out there that we're just not smart enough to really understand the underlying cause. So we, you know, either say, you know, it's mental, or we treat it generally with, hey, rest, take some anti-inflammatory. But we don't make the diagnosis. We don't get the right blood test. We don't get the right x-ray test. And we're not directly treating the disease or treating the symptoms, because we don't know what the disease is. And MAS syndrome is the same. If you don't understand it, And, you know, as Dr. Nathan said, you don't recognize it. You're going to see it. If you don't recognize it, you're not going to be able to effectively treat it. And again, you know, loss of consciousness. It is a big problem when you see it. Now, there's grades of it too. Some people just have itching, a little bit of brain fog, a histamine release where they're flushed and they just feel bad. And then some people pass out and end up in the ER.
I need to ask you a question. I'm not trying to make you a pharmacist, although I know you've got a great background in that as well. But I know that they've had basically DayQuil and things of that nature being pulled from pharmacy shelves where normally they've been open counter where you can pick them up. And reportedly, they're pulling them because they're ineffective, inactive. Well, they work for me, and now I'm having a hard time finding them. Is that because folks, MCAS is being recognized at, it is an antihistamine? If you're getting something you think is an antihistamine product and it's not going to work, it's going to cause you an issue? Or is there something else behind that?
Well, you know, I think they feel that they're not effective, and some people feel that the alcohol in them is getting abused. So there's some reasons they're pulling them. But I would tell you across the board, most people, NyQuil, DayQuil, those medications are effective. I disagree with the idea that they're not effective. I think they're being abused for other reasons, and some of them are getting pulled. But I think if you're going to get on, you know, Benadryl, if you have MASD and you have mast activation disease, you should always carry Benadryl with you, kind of like an EpiPen kind of deal if you have an allergic to peanuts or something. So the bottom line is, once you get the diagnosis, you have to be well aware that you are predestined to possibly having an attack at any time.
But the symptoms, if you're looking for symptoms, they range from irritated eyes, nose, throat, headaches, anxiety, bone, joint, muscle pain. I just described everything a lot of us go through on a daily basis, and you working with athletes, you're seeing more of it.
Well, that's right. So you have to determine if that's a histamine release or that's just somebody, you know, who's overtrained, et cetera. But, you know, they're flush, they're tachycardic, their pulse is irregular, and they're usually on the verge of losing some consciousness as the process gets worse. Now, in a minor phase, when you have activation, if you take the Benadryl right away, you still have tachycardia, you still probably have hypertension, high blood pressure, but you start to then start to feel more normal and start to feel better. So you have to mute the histamine release right away. If you let the histamine release go in the full boat, then that's when you're going to run into trouble.
You're listening to Dr. Rick Lehman with U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. The article would also point out before the COVID-19 pandemic, MCAS affected 17% of the general population. Now specialists, some of them anyway, believe that post-COVID, it could be up to 25% or more of the general population, especially if you have chronic health conditions. Is that a link between COVID or the drugs they were given?
Well, first of all, there's no question that the incidence has gone up since 2019.
And being recognized more, but actually happening more.
Yes, I think the people that understand it, who test it, who are looking for it, who are doing studies, have seen an increase. And I think it's secondary. It may be secondary to COVID. I think it's probably more secondary to the vaccine because you're trying to trigger the immunoresponse. That's what a vaccine does. And a lot of the side effects of the vaccine, and I saw a terrible one yesterday, is something that I think is triggering these autoimmune responses.
And did you see that in the emergency room or in the office, and you had to rush in the emergency room
the athlete flew in, I saw just an awful post vaccination situation with a mast cell component and a peripheral neuropathy component. And I can tell you, nothing's going to scare you more than looking at a 23-year-old world-class Olympic athlete that has these issues. And can't get into it HIPAA-wise, but I'll tell you, if you don't understand this, you're just missing it because it's there.
Another thing that's coming out around this is that I think you sent this to me, that regarding how these mast cells can be activated and spread, particularly if it's maybe going to activate cancer, that aspirin might be a simple remedy.
Well, and if you think about it, it makes sense, right? So aspirin basically inhibits the prostaglandin chain, the inflammatory response. And so what we're seeing is people that take aspirin have a much decrease in their metastatic component of their cancer, the spread of their cancer, the progression of their cancer. So a simple remedy, and the study that I sent you, there's been a number of studies. People just can't believe it. They're like, I just take aspirin and it's going to decrease the incidence of my chances of having
like 21% decrease.
Oh,
21%,
right. And this is science. This isn't, Larry and Rick sitting around having a beer. This is real researchers.
Yeah. And if you're talking about that in 2020, there were 19 million new cancer cases, 10 million deaths. If aspirin is, are they talking about taking it on a daily regimen or taking it once you begin to be diagnosed with cancer?
Well, it doesn't matter, but you should be taking it on a regular regimen anyway. A small aspirin every day is probably the right thing to do. And if you're going to get cancer or not, it's still got probably a positive cardiovascular effect.
All right. Dr. Rick Lehman, I thank you for your time and insight, sir.
Larry, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm glad your patient got to you in time so you could help take care of them. Dr. Rick Lehman with the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Coming up, as we were discussing previously, there was a time that Joe Biden was actually in favor of more border security. I know you're thinking, Larry, what are you drinking now? No, it's all documented. It actually appeared on a Twitter account. I need to give credit to that when we continue. But I want you to hear from then Senator Joe Biden, when he was running for president in 2007. Get ready for this one.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself, mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me, on Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
It makes sense that no great nation can be in a position where they can't control their borders. It matters how you control your borders, not just for immigration, but it matters for drugs, terror, a whole range of other things. So that's the first sort of truism. The second truism is that this nation is such that people in the country should have the first opportunity to be able to have jobs that pay well and have jobs that are decent.
Yeah, I agree with every bit. That was Joe Biden, the voice sounding younger, more vigor, because it's from 2007. And when he was all about border security, as you just heard him state. He was also running against Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton had already made a remark previously that, yes, we are a nation of immigrants, but we have laws, and there's legal immigration. And so had Barack Obama made a statement similar to that. So here's Joe Biden declaring that no great nation has uncontrolled borders. Well, I consider us a great nation, but we at this point have uncontrolled borders. Now keep in mind, when Biden was making that remark, this is going into the 2008 U.S. presidential election. I'd mentioned, of course, that the contenders included on the primary ballot for the Democrats, Barack Obama, junior senator from Illinois, Joe Biden, senior senator from Delaware, and of course you also had you know who, yeah, Hillary. And her belief was that she was going to be anointed. She was sure she was going to win not only the primary, but go on and become anointed, coronated as president, because she stood by Bill Clinton during the Monica Lewinsky affair. And then here came this young guy from Illinois, a junior senator, and suddenly he's rising to the top. Was it because of his oration ability? Because of his color? Because the nation was not ready for a woman president? That's an issue that's come up several times now lately with Nikki Haley, really in hot contested situations in the primary, assuming that she ever gets close enough to Trump. I've heard, I don't know from how many conservatives who said, our nation is not ready for a woman president. And I said, well, I would have said, when Barack was elected, I wasn't sure the nation was ready for a black president. I'm glad we made that decision, not because of his policies, but we made it clear that whoever you are, regardless of your color, your gender, if you have policies that resonate with the American people and will make things better for us, you're going to get support. Unfortunately, the first thing Obama did was go on an apology tour to all the other nations in the world, basically apologizing for everything the U.S. has done wrong in its history. But as they were going into this election, remember that President George W. Bush was the incumbent. He could not run again. He was termed out at 8 years. That's why the field was wide open. And, of course, on the Republican side, you had Arizona Senator McCain. And running with him, Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska. Well, we know how that race ended up. And I don't really have any question or doubt about how that election, if anyone wants to claim is rigged or something, I don't buy it. I think the voice of the public was truly heard in that election. That doesn't mean that going forward it continued. But here was Joe Biden in trying to get more votes from people that he thought this would be important to them. Immigration. Yes, everybody admits it's a broken system. But for Joe Biden to make a point that you don't have a great nation if you don't have control of your borders. And where are we now? During the 3 years Biden has been in office, we've had 13 million plus illegals enter our country. They're all over the country. And I don't care what Mayorkas or the Oval Office says, we don't know really who they are or where they are or what their intentions are. And we know, according to video and other documentation, lately there have been a mass of single military-age men from China entering our nation, often gathering in one of the triangle countries below Mexico and then forming a caravan or joining with another one to come forward. Then when they get to the border, sometimes they break off and they want to be one of the gotaways sneaking in at night, maybe caught on a rancher's camera looking for predators on his land, or maybe caught by government cameras, but they disappear in the night. We don't see them again. And with China, one of our main adversaries, you have to ask and wonder why. You know why. And you know why China would exploit it if we have an open border, which we do. So Biden, as a senator in 2007, said it just makes sense.
I've been arguing for the need to put more protection at our borders, meaning that you have more border guards. This president, refusing to add the number of border guards, now said he has to send the National Guard down. He vetoed. He was against adding the number of border guards. I only can suggest the reason he was is because he needed that money for his tax cuts that were unnecessary. I'm not being facetious. I'm being serious. Again, show me what you value. He had put a higher value on tax cuts for the wealthy than he did on protecting the border. And all of a sudden, the public responds, and now he says, now we got to send the National Guard down there that's already overstretched by God knows how much.
And again, he was criticizing President Bush, who thought, I don't need to see or send down National Guard troops. And, of course, Biden wants to use a little jab, said, that's probably because all the tax cuts he put into effect for the American people. And I know, those of you listening, you don't like getting your taxes cut, right? Of course you do. But that had nothing to do with why we don't send down the National Guard troops at that point. But let's say, for the sake of the argument, let's let Biden win that point. They weren't sent there because Bush was giving too many people tax breaks. Well, look at where we are now with President Biden. He won't send down National Guard troops to help either. What's his excuse? He won't even make sure we have border agents that are on the border and approve a bill to give money just to actually enforce the border. And you do it by closing the border, not by sending more people down to fill out paperwork for illegals. But that's what we're doing at this point. And Joe Biden, as Senator Joe Biden in 2007, even admitted, here's an option.
So I think what you have to do is you have to have a significant increase in the security at the border, including limited elements where you actually have a fence. Not a fence 3,000 miles like these folks are talking about, but you've got to, there are certain places people can go over and under a fence, but you can't take 100 kilos of cocaine over and under a fence. And what you do when you have limited places where fences are in populated areas, you force these drug dealers and others around, making it easier to apprehend because there's fewer places to come through. So I think the combination of virtual fencing, some fencing, additional border patrol is important.
He admitted everything we say we need, he admitted in 2007, was important and should be done. Now, his story about, well, you can't get 100 kilos of heroin across a fence or under, you can't get through the break. Well, of course, we did not have fentanyl as an issue in 2007. And we also didn't have a flood, a surge of 13 million. You don't have to have them getting a 100-kilo bag of heroin over. They just simply break it up among them and bring over what they want. Some would be caught, some not. We have at this time, in the 3 years Biden has been in office, and fentanyl is a key issue here, but it's still coming in across the southern border. 106,000 Americans overdosing on drugs last year. And often they were not drug addicts at all. They might try a recreational drug occasionally, maybe just marijuana. But then it got laced with fentanyl and ends up being a deadly event for them. So based upon what you heard Senator Biden proposing and believing in 2007, you go 180 degrees from that position, you come to what he did on the day he was sworn into office. Paused deportations, suspended the Remain in Mexico policy, stopped border wall construction. Methinks he speaks with a forked tongue. I know some are going to say, Larry, that's slanderous to Indians. No, they're the ones who said it, and I think they were right. And they're talking about a snake that has a forked tongue. Joe Biden was all about getting the votes he needed at that point. And, of course, Haley, to that point, Nikki Haley's been getting a lot of criticism because she said, well, you know, she didn't say she reinvents, but she kind of does things different at different campaign rallies. That's like any comedian or any actor, if they're performing before a large audience, they do it one way in one location, another they play up the bass that they know will hit that audience. That doesn't really mean transforming your basic policies and your thoughts, but Joe Biden has. Of course, he's also done it on abortion. So if he'll do it on abortion, I guess he'll do it on anything. Let me turn your attention to a development involving January 6th. You have heard, no doubt, about Ray Epps, a former Arizona resident, targeted apparently by right-wing conspiracy theories about the Capitol riot. He got sentenced yesterday for joining the attack by a mob of fellow Donald Trump supporters, the January 6th event. He did get sentenced. You know what he got? 1 year probation. probation. Got no jail time up to that point. He pled guilty in September to a misdemeanor charge. No restrictions placed on his travel during probation. Was going to have to serve 100 hours of community service. And then he got sentenced because of an appeal issue that got dropped, and he got 1 year probation, basically. Federal prosecutors have backed up Ray Epps' claim he was not a government plant nor an FBI informant. They say Epps has never been a government employee or agent beyond serving in the Marines from 1979 to 83. But there were theories out there that the 62-year-old was an undercover government agent helping incite Trump supporters, encouraging them to go forward and get involved with police and battling with them. That story is not going to just simply go away. And as I said, Epps did plead guilty to disorderly conduct on restricted grounds, and that could have been punishable by a maximum of 1 year behind bars. But even though there's numerous videos of Ray Epps engaging some of the Trump supporters and making various remarks, he's basically got a recommendation of 6 months behind bars from the prosecutors. His lawyer wants 6 months of probation, no jail time. So now he's been given a sentence of 1 year probation. Others are still in jail, yet to have their cases heard. Others have been sentenced for sufficient severe time. There are more than 1,200 charged with a Capitol riot on federal crimes. 900 pleading guilty or have been convicted in trials involving a judge or a jury. 760 or so have been sentenced, and two-thirds of them getting some terms of imprisonment. Epps once served as an Arizona chapter leader for the Oath Keepers, which has been one of the groups that has taken a heavy pounding because of what happened January 6th. And I'm not defending some of the actions where they're battling police, even if the police attack them first. Now, there are a lot of ways I could go into that. I don't have time for it right now. But the Oath Keepers founder and other members were convicted of sedition, conspiracy to stop the peaceful transfer of power. One of them, Rhodes, the founder, got 18 years in prison. And Epps, who was a chapter leader in Arizona, ends up getting 1 year probation. And we've got others that are still in jail waiting for their case to be heard, and some being held in the so-called gulag in D.C., the federal prison inside D.C. January 6th was wrong from the start when it came to battling police on the front line. But the whole story was never told by the January 6th committee. They wanted to sell only their narrative, and they did. And the leftist state-controlled media was more than glad to echo the narrative that we're going to take control of the country. That's what an insurrection would be. There was no insurrection. And the charges that were leveled against some of these people are way out of bounds, but it's another effort, and I should say episode, of weaponizing our government against the people. As always, thanks for listening. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.